World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning.
Especially all you folks over there on the East Coast and all of you down south, you never get that lousy weather. Stuff that blew through is unbelievable. Larry down there in Turtle Beach, Larry, did you get bombarded with some weather down your way, brother? Did you get any snow?
I know they got kind of snow.
Well,
6 miles away, my daughter's house got a lot of snow. I got a little bit. I got most of the ice.
Okay, most ice. They're down there. That's unusual. And, of course, they're getting hammered, killed up in Boston. I don't know if you guys saw a 15-foot storm surge, water in the streets. And wow, that global warming. Now, Al Gore came out yesterday and said that's a sign of global warming. That's one of the first signs. So I guess the weather's got to get really cold before everything warms back up and climate change. I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a lighthearted mood. Actually, when I come down every morning, I think I'm in a pretty good mood. And I keep hearing from those people talk about how angry I am. And again, I'm not angry. I'm passionate. I'm frustrated. Pick whatever word you want to. I'm like a football coach who sees our team losing and they can't for the life of me figure out what's going on. Why are we losing? Holy smokes. What is today? Today's the 4th, the 5th. A week from tomorrow, we're going to be in Noblesville, Indiana, doing a little, it's not really a boot camp, but we're having a gathering over in Noblesville, Indiana. I think it's from 2 until 6 or 2 until 4. Maybe, Sarge, do you have that? Can you help me? Or am I catching you when you're down in Florida, so you may not be in front of your normal computer. But we'll get some information on our website. That sounds crazy, don't I? Jared handles my stuff on my website. I don't even see it sometimes.
January 20th, you're good to go.
January 20th, what time is that, Sarge?
It's an afternoon.
Yeah, 2:30 to 4:30.
Yeah, 2:30 to 4:30. Thanks, Chad, for jumping in there. And then Chad's having an event at his place down at the Estes Ranch. That's on the 18th, Chad, is that right?
19th.
It'll be the 19th, 2021, yes.
19, 20, and 21. And if you're down in that Texas area, I would really encourage you to go to Chad's get-together down there. I made the last one, and I was really, really blessed by it. And the reason I was so blessed by it is just the fellowship. I got to actually meet Joe, the silver man down there. I got to see Todd. I got to see David and Cynthia. I met some new people. And it's just this fellowshipping of the saints, this bringing together what I believe to be the remnant of God. I think it's really, really crucial and really, really important. So if you're down in that area, contact Chad. You're welcome to come to his house. It'll be a great weekend. It'll be Bible study. It'll be food. It'll be fellowship, maybe shooting some guns, some different things that are going on. That's down at Chad's on the 18th and 19th and 20th. Did I get that right, Chad? Or is it 19, 20, and 21?
It's that weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Whatever that 19, weekend
20,
is.
21.
Friday, 19th, yeah. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, whatever that is. I would really, really encourage you to do that, to contact Chad and go be part of it. Because one of the things I think is so important is that, again, the scripture says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more as that day approaches. And to me, assemble doesn't just mean to gather together, to throw all the parts into a box. My kids over Christmas, get all kinds of stuff. When they leave, our house is a tornado, right? And we run over and get a box. We throw all the stuff in this box, and then we put the box in the closet. Well, we haven't assembled it. We've collected it. We've gathered all the stuff, but we have not assembled it. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to assemble the parts together so that there's a unit assembled in Texas, and there's a unit assembled in Georgia, and there's a unit assembled in Maine, and then there's a unit assembled. You understand? That's the whole idea. But only by doing that are we, as a collective, going to become more effective, more important in what it is we're trying to do. So I'm going to be in Noblesville. Sarge, I'm going to be in, we're going to do an actual boot camp February. There I go on those weekends. They all run together. I'm at 9 and 10 in Neosho, Missouri, which is just south, I believe, of Joplin. Kevin Van Story is heading that thing up for us. So put that on. And we're going to do some ordination out there. I'll get more information to you out there on that. We're going to ordain some folks at that one as well. So we're still moving forward. We're still trying to do a lot of different things. I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm a to the point kind of guy. I'm direct. And a lot of times my directness comes across as, I don't know what word I would use. Mean, that's not the right word. Condescending, I don't think that's right. Sometimes my directness comes across as, it's offensive sometimes because people aren't used to it.
Right, too brusque maybe.
Brusque, whatever word. I spent all my time coaching, all right, my whole life. And I'm going to tell you something. During the heat of the ball game, I did not have time to listen to a kid's explanation why he didn't get that block. So at some point, I learned to hear the first two or three sentences and then cut it off and say, boom, here it is. Let's move on. That's my approach. And I don't mean to do that in a know-it-all kind of situation. So I apologize. And I got an email specifically about Joe yesterday. Somebody thought I was mean to Joseph yesterday. Joseph, if I was mean to you, brother, I did not mean to be mean. I did not mean to make light of what you said. Your beliefs are your beliefs. This is free and open debate here. I cut you off because I had someplace in my mind that I was trying to go. I was that football coach in me, right? I got to call the next play. It wasn't that I was making light of what you said or I thought what you said was stupid. I'm calling the next play in my brain.
So
if you guys... If you guys will learn to understand that about me, then I don't care what the people email me think, because they don't get it anyway, right? They think everything I say is brusque or whatever that word is. Everything I say, it's just my nature. And I hate to tell you, it's what makes me effective. It separates the sheep from the goat pretty quick, because you run into a lot of people. I used to tell our football players when I'd get on them and they'd get mad and they'd go over and I said, listen, man, you'll never make a tackle with thumb in your mouth. If you're going to play, get your thumb out of your mouth. As soon as you get your thumb out of your mouth, then maybe we can use you. But if you're going to use this the whole time, then we're not going to work. So that's the way I operate. If you got your thumb in your mouth, go lay on your bed with your little binky, put your binky in your mouth and your little blanket, and I'll shove it until you get over it and then come back and join it.
Amen, Coach.
Okay, so I'm trying to help everybody man up here. We got to cut through the chase and some of this crap. And I'm going to say it again. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm going to question a lot of what you've been taught. Okay, can I tell you why? Because I'm questioning a lot of what I've been taught. Okay. So here's where I want to go today. Does anybody want to throw? It is. Friday flea flicker. So something on somebody's heart to say. By the way, Larry, I'm going to have Larry next week's going to do a presentation on how we recognize who the real body of Christ is. How we can recognize that. Okay. I think that's important because there are a lot of people around us who are acting, functioning like Christians, and I don't really believe they are. Go ahead, Vince. Yeah. I stepped on you a couple times.
Yeah. No worries. No. I'm going to say, Geraldo Rivera is a real idiot. I just wanted to say that. And I love.
Tell us why, Vince.
Because Geraldo Rivera decides that the crimes of Hillary Clinton, the various and huge crimes of Hillary Clinton are forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
They're old news.
Old news. Old news.
Somehow.
Right.
That's because he's involved with it.
Well, that's because Geraldo's involved with it probably, too. This thing is so deep. It's so deep. And then evidently, I was going to do some of this, but I don't want to get bogged down on it. They reopened the investigation into Hillary's emails. That's pretty big. That's pretty big. When they start, and I don't know if you saw this, Paul Manafort brought suit against the Justice Department to stop this investigation, this Trump thing. And it looks to me from everything that I've read that legal scholars say he's going to win because they've exceeded their boundaries of what they're supposed to do. So again, we live in amazing times, baby.
You remember back when Comey exonerated Hillary and his little summation of his investigation?
That's right. That's right.
At that time, I have a military background too, and in the military, it's common practice that if somebody is like, let's say a guard at a military prison kills an inmate. And what they will do is, even if the investigation clears them, it was a justified shooting, they will still court-martial that guard with a felony court-martial and give him the minimum punishment they can to protect him from further prosecution, because you can only be prosecuted for the crime once.
Amen.
That worked for a long time until the federal government got in there and started saying, well, civil suits are different.
Mm.
But the Constitution doesn't differentiate between civil and criminal suits.
Yeah, Larry, I'm going to coach you here a minute. Somebody emailed me yesterday. Larry, can you pull back from your screen? Can you get back from your camera? Yeah, we like to see your face.
But my arm ain't that long. Now I'll have to move my camera.
Oh, there, that's good. Now people say, Larry looks like Quasimodo. Do you guys know who Quasimodo is? The Hunchback of Notre Dame. When I happy, I laugh, and when I laugh, I ugly. You remember him? Go back and check it out. Because Larry's so close to the screen, we only see one eyeball at a time. So you don't have to
I modified my camera system and took the base of the camera off and taped it to my desk.
I'm not giving you a hard time. I'm just saying we'd like to see your whole. Yeah, there you go. We'd like to see your whole face. That's a little bit better. So listen, see, oh, that's good, Larry. Yeah. Now we see you. Yeah, well, you do have two eyes and a nose. Wow, yeah, you do.
Hey, Larry, I like to see that you like duct tape, too.
Yeah, duct tape's a cure of everything.
Man, I graduated to Gorilla Tape.
Yeah, Chad.
Hey, it's Rich. I was wondering,
hey, Rich,
before we get, can we talk about Jesus a second?
Sure.
Be all right.
Yep.
You know, from yesterday's show, can we go to Galatians 1?
Sure. Let's do
it. 12.
Yep. Pull us up there, Jared. Galatians 1.
I mean, I think we can all agree Paul was called by Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Galatians 1, 12 through 14. It hits on what we were talking about yesterday.
All right.
I think it's important. Good. It says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion, or my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion.
Boy,
how
Rich.
That beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." And he goes on, but if the Jews are so chosen, why did Jesus call Paul out of that mess?
Wow, and why did Paul call it a religion?
Exactly.
Because, see, we're told it's a race, aren't we? We're told it's a race. And so, Rich, it's amazing that you said that, because this is where I'm heading this morning. I want to try to clear up some things, right? And a lot of people are really, I'm telling you guys, American Christianity is centered around two things, the way that I see it. Almost two non-negotiables with American Christianity. Not all of it, but most of it. And that is what? Israel and the Jews. And I don't have any trouble with either one, but we ought to get it right. That's all I'm saying. We ought to get it right.
Amen.
And I think if we read down, as Rich just showed us here, Paul says, "For I neither received of man, neither was I taught, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what we're talking about. There's no pastor, there's no priest, there's no intermediary between you and the Lord. The Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to draw you into all truth. But look at this. For he said, "You've heard my conversations in time past in the Jews' religion." Hey, guys, he was the Jew of Jews. Paul was. He didn't say in my religion, in our religion. He said in the Jews' religion. Don't miss this, right? And how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Wasted means banged it on, beat it up, threw people in jail, killed them. I just did everything I could to destroy it, Paul said, right? So Paul said I was part of this religion that did everything it could to destroy Christianity. It wasn't called Christianity then. I did everything I could. And he said, and profited in the Jews' religion, there it is again, above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Dudes, We're pulling down traditions even right now. Baseless tradition. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem and ask him to ordain me. Nope, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles, I saw none, except Jesus, the Lord's brother. Oh, what? Except James, the Lord's had a brother? Now the things which I write and you behold before God, I lie not. Afterwards, I went to Syria and so. Rich, I'm so glad you brought this up because this is exactly where I'm trying to head today, okay?
Amen.
Guys, listen. Listen to me. Listen. I don't care what you believe. I do not care. I don't, if your whole life is, Lord, help me be nice here. I don't want to create, I believe we're in danger of making the Jews an idol. I believe we're in danger of it. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. We read the other day that there is no respecter of persons. It's funny, on my Facebook page, I had one of the most, traffic on my Facebook page yesterday when I just posted a meme. I do this every once in a while to get people to think. And here's the meme I posted on my Facebook. Jed, maybe you can pull it up there. It doesn't matter, Jared. You don't have to. Here's the meme. I simply put up this. If Jews follow the Old Testament, why don't more of them hold conservative values? Do they follow another book? Just asking. And you know what I'm finding out? People know what's going on. But they're still afraid to say it. You don't have to find it there, Jared. You're working. I don't even. It doesn't even matter.
There is another book.
There is another book. Well, sure. Ooh. So you're not allowed to talk about that. You're not allowed to talk about it. Right?
It's tradition. Yeah.
See, Christians will love to beat the Mormons over the head because the Mormons have another book. Right? Called what? The Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Mormon. So, oh, well, they're using extra biblical stuff, right? Well, can somebody help me? What are the Jews studying out? Anybody know what the Jews are studying out of?
Oh, it's the Babylonian Talmud.
The Talmud. So they're in an extra biblical source. Why don't we have that same attitude towards them? Christians reject Mormons because it's a different gospel, but they accept Jews because it's what?
So, well, Coach, it's a crime to read the Talmud if you're not Jew.
I just got to show you some stuff here today, okay? Bearing with me.
Isn't the distinction Mormons claim to be Christians? Jews only recognize Jesus as a smart and wise man. They're still
No, that's not true, Roger. They don't even respect him as that.
Yep.
They killed him. They thought he was a heretic.
Yep. Well,
they are anti him. They are against
boiling and oil and excrement.
Well, let me rephrase that.
Okay.
I think you're right. I don't when you but the Mormon issue I think is different because they consider themselves part of Christianity. So I think there's a little distinction why we're hard on them.
Oh yeah. Well, what about Judeo Christianity, Raj?
But Judeo Christianity to me says is more of that foundational concept that people want to say to feel good about our nation. I don't use that terminology a lot.
Good. Don't, because it's a made up term. Don't use that term. It's a made up term. It's a made up term.
Mormons claim to be Christians, followers of Christ. And that to me does not mesh with their history nor what they believe. They are a cult, in my opinion.
Okay.
What about the Catholics?
How about the Catholics? Oh, boy. Okay, hang on.
That's a cult, too.
Because you're giving me 12 different shows here at once, okay? I want to show you something here.
Okay? Time out for a second.
No.
I'm the referee. I'm throwing a red. Does referees have a red flag to throw? Anyway. It
used to be.
Lauren, how do I say this? Yeah.
He's yellow now. Yellow.
Dude,
yellow.
Hey, don't.
Say it, Larry. Come on, say it.
I have often said, and I've said it more than a few times on this show over the last couple of years, I know a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ who go to a Catholic church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church or whatever, but they in their own minds and own hearts are Christians instead of Baptist or Methodist or Catholics. I do not know a single person who considers themselves to be a Catholic who happens to be a Christian. Because God says, I will have no other gods before me. If you put your denominational God before God, the creator of the universe, you're just as lost as Hitler was.
Mm. I would say it with this caveat, Larry. I think there are a lot of people in the Catholic Church who love Jesus. There's a pretty little girl.
Okay, well, I just said there's a lot of Christians who go to a Catholic Church.
They're deceived.
But if you consider yourself a Catholic, you cannot be a Christian. Because what
okay, that's next. That's next week. That's next week's show. That's next week's show. I don't want to get bogged down. Hey, Larry, I get the emails, not you. Okay, and so I hate to leave these things undone. I try not to leave anything undone. Larry, I'm a doctor. I'm going to show you something. Listen, this is critical, guys. This is critical. How do I do this? I'm holding in front of me. I wish there was some way. Let me see if I have it up on my screen. I don't know how to show you guys this, but this would be a great investment for you. This book was given to me by. I can't remember who gave it to me. Isn't that awful? Somebody gave me this, and I can't remember who did it. This is called Adam's Synchronological Chart Map of History. And if you open it up, I'm going to slide back here a little bit. If you open it up, it is a chart of page after page after page of history.
Wow.
So what's going on? Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this, okay? Up here at the top, is what's going on in biblical history, stuff we read about in the Bible. Because the Bible is the story of God getting his son into the world. That's what the Bible is and everything that transpired. But the whole time all this stuff's going on, out of Israel, or call it whatever you want to, the world's gone on. There's still stuff going on in Asia. There's still stuff going on in Europe. There's people are still living in Africa. And look at this, all this biblical history is going on up here, but there's corresponding history going on throughout the world as well. Man, I wish I could show you this. This thing goes for like 8 feet across my wall when I put it up. A chronology, for those of you who live in Buckeye Lake, that means a sequential order of what's going on in the world. So if we would understand, if we would come to understand that the Bible tells us what's going on in the Bible, there's the Bible history for you. Up here tells the years and what's going on and all that stuff's going on in the world outside of Israel. Am I making sense? And see, we think the Bible is a historic record, and it is, but it's a historic record of the Bible. What's going on in biblical times, not the rest of the world. You with me?
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
You got to see it. You got to see it to understand. Okay, you got to see it. When we're reading about Pharaoh, and we're reading about Moses, and we're reading about all that, well, that's just what's going on there. That's it. I'm tied up down here. Oh, that's a first. You guys did it to me.
It's all good, brother.
Yeah, you're frozen now.
Let me get that fixed. Okay, you with me? So look. Yes. Well, how could that have happened?
It's right wing watch.
Again. See, I haven't stopped. Am I back now?
Yep.
Okay, good. So look, I'm just gonna lay some things out there, and you decide what you want to decide. Okay. I'm gonna show you some stuff here that to me is critical. I found out. Let me throw this caveat. Well, Lord, still cut me out here, Lord. Who are the Jews? Who's Israel? We're all Israel. Rich just showed us again that Paul rejected it. We just saw that. But the American church today, I'm not saying reject Judaism. I'm not saying reject Israel. I'm saying we're making an idol of it. The starts the diaspora. Hey, guys. Now, listen, guys. Do you have any idea? I want you to think about this now. I want you to think about bloodline. Bloodline. Hang on, Jared. That's not the one I want you to show, Jared. Let's do this backwards. I want you to, the whole time we're doing this, I want you to think about bloodline. In fact, if I were to ask you right now, hey, everybody get ready. Open your microphones. Get ready here a second. Everybody open your microphones the best you can, all right? All right? Come on, get them open there. Get them open. All right, I'm going to start with, hey, Jerry. No, I'm going to start right up here at the top. I'm going to go down. Hey, Jared.
Yep.
What race are you? What's your DNA heritage?
French Canadian.
Jared.
Oh, sorry.
David, what is yours? Dave Davis. What's yours, David?
English Canadian.
Bobby Lee, what are you?
I think I'm somewhat German, but it got lost in the Appalachian region over there.
Okay, David, what are you, David?
Choctaw, Indian, and German.
German, Don, what are you?
German and French.
You think? George, what are you?
Irish, Scottish, German.
You guys don't have any idea. Jerry, what are you?
French Canadian, as far as I know.
You think so? HD, what are you, Rich? Other than big, other than Nephilim, than Nephilim, what are you, Rich?
Well, the forms I signed say I'm white, so I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
Well, I'm white. You. That's what I checked.
Okay. Stay with me. Stay with me, Sarge.
Varmint, but I choose to be unassigned.
Unassigned, Larry. What are you, Larry?
I have no idea. The name says I'm English and Scottish, but that's
good. What about you, Mark? What are you, Mark? Come on.
Hillbilly German.
German?
Hillbilly
Matt?
German.
Hillbilly German. Matt, can you get in here? Matt Mitchell, you got Portia's her microphone's up. What are you, Portia?
As best I know, German, Native American, whole mixture of things.
You don't really know. Huh? What about you, Biff? Big nose guard. What's a big nose guard down there? Robert, what are you?
I don't know, Coach.
White.
That's debatable. What, right, Ray? What are you?
I belong to the human race.
Okay, so Roger, come on, Wee. What are you?
Woke up this morning, African American.
Good, Serge. What are you, Serge?
Parlez-vous français, French.
Yeah. All right, man. You think anyway, Sherry? What are you?
The tribe of Joseph and Cherokee.
Silverman, what are you?
Tribe Manasseh, oldest son of Joseph, and a bunch of Europeans.
See, he's getting biblically technical on us. Hey, Vince, what are you?
Okay, at 6'4", I guess I'm part Nephilim, but let's just say part American and part.
Okay, April, can you jump in here? Sarah, your microphone's open. April, if you want to get in. Hey, Sarah, what are you?
I'm a blend of about 15 different European countries and Eastern Band Cherokee.
See, we all are. That's the point I want to make. So I found out this amazing discovery about moi. If you would ask me, Coach, what are you? I'd say, well, I am, I'm German. My dad, Daubenmeyer, is German. My mom was Fisher, Hoover. My mom was British, I suppose. So I'm white. I'm German white, I guess. Really? I found that out the most staggering thing. And remember bloodline, Jews. Remember bloodline, all right? Hey, Jared, go down there and click on this thing. It's called Wiki Melungeon. I just found out that I'm a Melungeon. Anybody ever hear of a Melungeon?
No.
Nope. Nobody has ever heard of a Melungeon. Well, yes. Welcome to the table. Put it up on the screen, Ed. Okay, Jared?
Basically,
hang on now. Here's what it is. I'm trying to get this off of my screen because I can't see it. Jared, I got all these people on my screen. Does this get rid of them? Yeah, I got rid of them. Okay, here we go. Jared, start at the top. This is me, all right? This is me. It's right there. The term Melungeon has generally been applied to a widely distributed group of people associated with the general region of Tennessee, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Kentucky in the United States, but generally regarded as particularly concentrated in the general area of Eastern Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, Northwest North Carolina. References are also made to Melungeon groups in Ohio and Louisiana. Although definitions of what exactly constitute a Melungeon differ, these are mixed race people. That'd be me. And in fact, let me throw another term in there that you've all heard. Appalachian. Appalachian.
Yep.
The Melungeons came out of Appalachia. And what were the Melungeons? See, I could have told you guys I'm a German. The Melungeons, as a recent DNA study has been highly publicized, as indicating that Melungeons in Hancock County, Tennessee, Hawkins County, Tennessee, and Lee County, Virginia, descended from African males and European females. Conclusion of this study were published in the journal Genetic Genealogy. This widely reported in the news media throughout such articles, DNA study origins, yada, yada, yada. So I am a Melungeon. That's where my family came from. That's not my family off to the right there on the picture, but they probably look something like that. Now, Jared, hang on. Because Sarah was right. She says she's a mixture of a whole bunch of different things. And see, race is just, oh, my God. Hey, guys, think about the diaspora. Think about Jewish bloodline. Think about Hitler and trying to keep a pure bloodline. Jared, let's go to click on Jared. It's this is so good. This Jared, click on the one that says Young Melungeon. Young Melungeon. Now, this is a little guy. This is only 2 minutes long. We won't watch all of it. Look at this dude. He's going to explain to y'all what a Melungeon is. Go ahead, Jared. Can't hear it.
I don't know if you guys know what Melungeons are, but all of you guys who do know, it's a group of quote-unquote unidentified people in Newman's Ridge in Hancock County, Tennessee. And I am a Melungeon. And I know where we come from. Well, a lot of people say
we're Filipino. It's garbled, Jared.
No, we're not Filipino. A lot of people say we're, any type of Asian with dark skin, but this is going to take you by surprise. I'll prove to you that I'm a Melungeon. My skin is dark. I don't know if you can see that. Look at that. And I know where the Melungeons come from. Portugal. Either Portugal or Spain. And what they did, I think it might have been, yeah, the Spanish.
Okay, George, you can point down. Listen, Melungeons, they believe, are a mixture of black, Indian, and European. Melungeon. Jared, pull the next one up there. It says Melungeon folk. It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Hey, keep in mind. Say, Coach, where are you going? Keep in mind. Bloodline. I'm a bloodline German, I thought. I was a bloodline German. Take us back to the beginning here, Jared. This is just 2 minutes long. Melungeons came out of Appalachia. Appalachia. Okay, here we go. They know who they are. I didn't know I was one of them. You know what I ought to do? I ought to go back and sue for free college for all my kids. That's certainly a minority. Can I get some money back? I'm a minority. Go ahead, Jared. See if you don't see me in some of these pictures.
Sometimes, on our journey toward ourselves, we have to look for our ancestors. If your ancestors were Melungeon, that can be difficult.
Abe Lincoln was a Melungeon!
What do you tell people a Melungeon is? It takes a half hour just to explain what people think a Melungeon might be.
Could that guy be my brother?
It's a cover story for sure. African heritage.
My sixth granddaddy, Andrew, may have been a pirate up and down the East Coast.
My mom always referred to herself as Black Dutch.
There's no mystery as to who the Melungeons are, the Indians.
In some old tax records, you'll find them sometimes as free man of color.
They left their genes, they left their culture, and we are fooling ourselves if we don't think that they're here.
It's kind of like hearing a cry from the grave and then trying to decide whether or not to answer it.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that. See, this is why it's so important to understand what Paul said. There is no Jew. There is no Greek. We are all mixtures. We all came from three. Well, we all came from Adam and Eve originally. Remember the chart I showed you where the world's going on outside of the Bible? There's a world going on. And that when we all came, we came as either Jephthah, Shem, or my brain went dead. Who's the other one? Third brother. Jephthah, Ham and Shem, the three sons of Noah. That's how everything happened. That's how everything developed. And ever since then, we have been just a mixed combination of everything. We all are. We all are. That's why Paul said we're all just one. We're one in Christ. There's neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's no black, there's no white, there's none of that stuff because we are all a mixture. Now hang on. Are you guys following me here? Am I making sense? Because I'm going to show you something. Paul said Judaism was a religion. The Jews will say they are a race. Yes or no? There's a big debate going on about that, right? Okay, now, here we go. Let's say Jesus was a Jew. Let's say that. And let's say that, well, before Judah, let's say Abraham was a Jew. Let's say whoever you want to was a Jew. Let's say that, okay? How many generations has that been? When did I go from being a German to a Melungeon? When did that happen? I don't know. Somebody intermarried somewhere and it happened. I don't know how it happened. And the purpose of the Jewish race was to bring a pure sacrifice, a pure blood sacrifice, so his son could come in. That's the whole purpose of Judea. He used them to bring a perfect. And then after Jesus was born, the perfect sacrifice was born. He tore down the temple and said, no, there's no more of that religion now. No more of that old religion. No more, nothing more special about those people anymore. Now watch this. Jared, go down to the video that says Disparah. This is about this. Guys, this will blow your mind, okay? Now, I want you, as you watch this, I want you to think of two things. Two things. Number one, here we are in 2018 identifying some people as Jews. Serge identified as French. Rich identified as Nephilim. So, here we are trying to just over two generations. I can't even trace my grandma and grand. I can't even trace my genealogy over two generations. And I want you to watch what happened to the Jews. And you tell me if the Jews are a race of people, how would we know? How could you know today? Watch this.
In this video, we will be discussing the Jewish diaspora, the three diasporas that we have discussed so far in Jewish history. Diaspora is a Greek word that means scattered. In Hebrew, we know this word as galut. So the Jewish diaspora refers to the movement of the Jews out of their homeland to different locations throughout the world. And we know that throughout history, the Jews were forced from their homeland several times by different conquering empires. We had the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Romans. They all played a major part in scattering the Jews to nations all over the earth. So in this first map over here, we see the first diaspora, the first exile of the Jews from the northern kingdom of Israel in the year 722. They were exiled in the northern kingdom by the king Shalmaneser of Assyria. He conquered the northern Israel, and he exiled what we know today as the 10 lost tribes into Assyria and into the surrounding Middle East countries. The second diaspora.
Stay right there a second, Jared. What do you suppose the odds that they kept their pure bloodline when all these people went to different areas? Look what happened to the old Melungeon boy here, right? Go then, keep going, Jared.
Diaspora. Was when the southern kingdom of Judah of Israel was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar into the Euphrates River Valley, into Babel. The Jews at that time all went together to Babylon. Israel was left desolate and uninhabited, with just a few poor people there, but most of the Jews went all to Babylon, and they built a community there, and they built a life there. As we know from the prophet Yirmiyahu, his words, the Jews eventually returned from Babel under the edict of King Cyrus of Persia. They returned to Israel, a few of them, and they rebuilt the second temple. Hundreds of years later, well, here we see that the Jews, when they also, when they were exiled from Israel, down here, they also were, besides going to Babel, they also settled themselves in Egypt, in a place called Elephantine, in Alexandria, and also in Babylonia. Now, the year 37 BC, when King Herod, the king of Judea, he became the king, and it was finally established as a Roman client kingdom. As we said, we learned in class, Rome intervened, they became involved in Judea, because of the two Hashmonaim brothers, Hyrcanus II and Aristobulus II, who invited him in to interfere in their battle for leadership. So Judea became now part of the Roman protectorate. It became a province of Rome. For decades, the Romans ruled over Judea with their procurators, and harsh treatment began to get harsher and harsher, and so finally the Jews revolted against the Romans. But in the year 70 CE, the Romans legions under Titus, the general of Rome, they crushed the Jewish uprising. They burned the second Beit HaMikdash, and the third and the biggest exile began. This time, the Jews were not only scattered into one place, but they were scattered, as you could see here, all over the Roman Empire. In the beginning, first, they were a little bit along the coast here. And later on in Roman period, they spread out to further countries, and even later on, more countries. And here, this drawing depicts the scattering and the resettlement of the Jews after 70 CE also. They were scattered throughout the whole Roman Empire.
The temple in 70 AD, Jews left Israel.
Over here, they went to the Byzantine Empire, to Spain. And later they even began to head north towards France, Belgium, Holland, Germany, Austria, Bulgaria, Bosnia, all these places, and even into northern Africa. So here we see how the Jews spread out around mostly Europe at this time, Northern Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Northern Africa. And after the expulsion of the Jews from Spain in 1492 on these different years, the Jews really scattered much more around the world. And just to give you an idea of today, this is what the diaspora is today. We are in Galut today. We have been exiled from our land. Of course, Israel in 1948 became a Jewish state, but nevertheless, the Jews were already scattered back from the year 70 CE. We have 6 million Jews in North America, Latin America with 500,000, in Europe 1.5 million, almost 5 million Jews in Israel, etc., etc. So this is just giving you an idea of how the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash and the scattering of Jews has left us today scattered throughout the world to eventually one day come back, and all the exiles will come back into Israel in the times of the Mashiach. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, so that was a Jewish production, what we just watched. I want to ask you something. What are the odds of all of those Jews maintaining a pure Jewish bloodline? What do you suppose the odds of that would be? I'm a Melungeon. I didn't know.
Zero.
I'm a Melungeon. Yeah.
Zero chance.
Coach, we
zero
all
chance.
We all came out of Africa. We all came out of Africa through Asia, through Europa, Australia, and then the United
across the Caucasus Mountains, across the Caucasus Mountains, where we get the word Caucasian from. Point being what? After God sent the deliverer, the pure bloodline through his son, he said, okay, from now on, there are no distinctions. And we had the final diaspora where the Jews were all thrown out of Israel and went to the world. And if we want to be honest about it, that was 2,000 years ago. So the Jews, unless they have maintained perfect inbreeding, the Jews are a mixture of many, many different things. And Paul said, Jews were a religion. Isn't that what it said, Rich? Isn't that what it said? Paul, the chief Jew,
amen,
it was a religion. He said it was a religion. Not a chosen people. Oh my goodness, if they would see it. All right, somebody help me here. I'm stuck. I'm trying to get you to see that what we are called, I have been calling myself German, and there may be some German blood, but I'm Melungeon. I don't even know what it is. But if they said, hey, would all those white boys come over and play on this side? I'd go, I'm a white boy, I think. But they told me, but I'm not. I'm a mixture of black and boy. Hey, Jared, real quick, one more. We won't watch this whole thing. It's a real quick one, Jared. I missed it. Video, too white to be black. Hey, Dale, I don't know if Dale's with us. Those Creoles down in New Orleans. You go down there and you talk to somebody down there from Louisiana, they speak like an entirely different language down there because they're a mixture. And why are we to believe that everybody got mixed, but not the Jews. They didn't get mixed. Come on in. Jared, I'm going to show you this. I won't have time. Come on, man. Somebody help me out here. Somebody throw me a lifeline.
Doesn't it make
it,
Coach?
Does it?
Coach, can I burst the bubble about the Africa theory? Sure. No, they're contending that, the whole out of Africa thing. They found some DNA that refutes that.
Right?
Yeah. I'm a black guy, but, you know, I'm not offended by that. It doesn't matter. Humanity's humanity, you know?
Are you 100% black, man?
No, I'm not. Absolutely not.
No, no. Somebody might have fooled around somewhere down the line. You don't know where you came from.
I know someone.
I don't know where I came from. I know my skin color.
Right.
I look at my own little granddaughter. One of my granddaughters has got blonde hair and very fair skin. My grandson, dark as can be, just like his grandpa, coming out of the same... What? And over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we are supposed to believe that these people in Israel are pure? If they called for me to return, all Germans come home. Could I go home? Could I return to Germany? Could I?
Hey, Coach.
Somebody help me. If they called all Germans to come to Germany, could I go to Germany?
What I found out yesterday, all of us could go.
The point being, I could go. Why? Because there is some Jewish or German blood in me. There is some. Hey, that they said, hey, we want all Indians come to the reservation. I could go. I could go. Yeah. Hey, Vince, if they said all black, let's go back to Africa. Vinny, we could share a seat. We could sit on the same bench.
Yeah, brother, brother to brother.
Because
right?
It's all been mixed. It's all been mixed together. But we're supposed to believe that this one group of people, that bloodline has never been mixed.
It's laughable.
And Paul himself said it's a religion.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Elizabeth Warren's waiting for you to come home.
So she's right then, isn't she? She is an Indian. So are you. We are.
Coach.
God, do you see the lie we've been told? You see the lie. There are no 100%, I don't think, I'll be careful. 100% bloodline Jew, you won't find one in the world. Can't possibly be. It's all mixed. We're all mixed. Nothing wrong with them. They didn't do anything wrong. But if you remember in the scriptures in the Old Testament, they were forbidden to marry outside their tribe. Why were they done that? Why were they forbidden to marry outside their tribe? Because they're trying to get the perfect bloodline through. That's what the whole thing that the Nephilim, what they were trying to do is they were trying to ruin the bloodline. They were trying to ruin the bloodline from Mary, the seed of David. They were trying to corrupt the bloodline. And somehow through the miracle and the flood and all that, the Lord was able to preserve that perfect bloodline till we got a Savior from the line of David. And once the Savior came, the bloodline didn't matter anymore because we're all Abraham's seed from this point forward. That's what the Bible clearly teaches.
But that's not what we've been taught.
It's not what we've been taught.
Hey, Dave, are we... I got a question. Are we all the seed of Abraham or with the blood of Christ over him?
Well, it's no, Rich. It said, yeah, we read it yesterday. I think it was in Galatians. That if you've been adopted in the family, if the blood of Christ covers you, then you are now Abraham's seed. Now, brothers, right. I'm going to shake you a bit. If those Jewish people are not covered with the blood of Jesus, they are not Abraham's seed. Because it's no longer a pure bloodline. Amen. Do you see this?
Amen. Amen.
And what are we doing? We're making an idol out of something that's not even true anymore. And that all came. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I got to do it. It all came back because of John Darby and the Schofield reference. By just Google it. Just do some stinking research on your own. Those of you who are getting ready to Google this. Just do some research on it. Prove me wrong.
Right, exactly.
Prove me wrong.
Exactly.
Coach.
I'm just throwing the possibility out there. Got the book. Got the book to show you. Yeah.
Coach, my question then is, what is a nation?
Well, Google it. Google it. Hey. You can what is it? You can become an American. How do you become an American?
Language, culture, and borders.
Well, that's Michael Savage.
Yeah. Here's my question. Why did Hitler move to exterminate Jews that were not really bloodline Jews at all?
Well, he didn't exterminate anybody.
Well, no, but I'm being serious. his whole, one of his whole means was destroying the Jews and the Jewish race.
That's a lie. Don't believe that.
But I do believe it. My point is, they weren't really blood Jews at all. As we look at the migration, they were very mixed.
And I would say that's probably something Hitler understood or believed. I would see in a sick sort of way, Hitler thought the Germanic people were God's chosen people. That's what Hitler believed, right? He was trying to create a race, right? The perfect race. So he did believe that. So what is a nation? Jared Googled nation. What is a nation? Probably hard to find. Boy, words mean things, don't they? JR said, Jewish families. The question is, what is a family? What constitutes a family? Hey, Roger, anybody in here? My buddy Norm has two adopted sons. They're in his family, but they're not his bloodline. But they're his family. Jared's having a hard time finding it, of course. All right?
Yep.
We only got 2 minutes here. Yep.
My oldest daughter is adopted by me.
Uh-huh.
My second daughter is natural by me. They are my family.
They're both your kids, aren't they?
All of my grandchildren are my grandchildren in my family.
You mean you don't love the grandchildren that are from your biological daughter more than you love the ones that are from the other daughter?
I love them all the same.
Why, you're like Jesus, aren't you? You're like God. You've adopted them all into your family, and they've all become a family. This is better. I'm setting you free today. I'm setting you free. I'm not. The truth is. They've been telling us a lie, boys. Boy, right wing watch is going to be all over this. They're going to tell all kinds of lies about what I said. All kinds of lies.
They can tell the lies, but the truth is here.
The truth is here, man. The truth is here. And we got to stop it. I know I've shaken a lot of people's theology on it. Just do your own research. Do me a favor, please. Don't go ask your pastor, please. Just do some research. Just do some independent research. The internet is full of videos on this stuff that's full of. The truth is out there for anybody who wants to see it to see. It's out there. But there's no spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for? Nobody is inquisitive. Nobody in Christianity is inquisitive. Well, who said this and where did this come from and why do we do this? Nope. In fact, I'll bet you every one of you watching this had never known that there were three different diasporas like that. Three different times the Jews were thrown out. Three different times. We didn't know that. We don't know our history. We don't know this book. Not this, not the Bible, this other book. We don't know our history and understand it because we don't. We believe anything they tell us.
Where are you?
God's chosen people.
We are God's chosen people.
That's right, Benny. I'm God's chosen person.
I'm God's
chosen. And I'm a Melungeon. How about that one?
I'm a Melungeon too, for all I know. Who knows?
Appalachia. I crawled out of those hills. My dad's ancestors crawled out of those hills. And here we've been calling them German. Why do we call them German? Because the last name said we were German. Dobenmeyer. Keeper of the doves. The Dobenmeyers, the keepers of the doves. Unbelievable. See, the scripture tells us you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it,
shall set you free.
Going to set you free. Going to set you free. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you first thing Monday morning.